Why are you doing what it is that you do? Why are you buying the things that you buy? Why do you live where you live? Is that really where you want to be, or are you just kind of running some sort of automation, some programming of what society says that you should do if you have this type of income or make that type of money?
Real business owner.
Whatever your situation is currently is not your forever situation.
That's really what real business owners is, man. Like, we don't care where you come from. Yeah. Where are you going?
Our goal and our job is to reduce the mistakes that you have to make or the money that you have to lose.
You want to be an entrepreneur, you want to be successful, don't give up.
You learn, adjust, and continue to move forward.
Welcome back to the Real Business Owners Podcast with myself, Trevor Cowley. Today we have Jason Haugen.
Yep.
I would like to say the names of all of the RV businesses that he owns, but I can't say them all, right? You have a whole conglomerate of RV stores, right?
Yep.
And that's why you are named Mr. Deep Pockets, because you're selling these big, huge machines for mass amounts of money, and then you're just living the high life now, right?
Yeah. I mean, this last year was rougher than a couple of years.
Yeah.
But it's been good, man. We got four stores right now. I actually had 9 stores at one time.
Wow.
And then we kind of just decided to get, like, focus on a lot of different things and just come back to Utah.
So 9 stores, different states?
Yeah. So we had 3 in Oregon, 2 in Missouri, and then 4 in Utah.
So it was less profitable, right?
Yeah.
And so you decided to consolidate.
Yep.
And that's a lesson just to start the podcast, is a lot of people think expansion, more profit, right? And I know plenty of people, they're like, dude, as I kept growing and expanding, my profits kept shrinking and shrinking and shrinking, right?
Right.
Now, not to say that eventually they won't, you know, come back to what they were as those other stores or locations or whatever got to the point of the peak of your other stores that are your prime stores. But at the end of the day, expanding is a rough process, right?
Like, oh yeah. Especially if you're not ready for it. Like we weren't totally ready for it. I mean, we should have went deeper in our locations and perfected the processes, went deeper, learned more and more and more and more, got years underneath our belt instead of, but like COVID was so good to us. We were making so much money, we didn't know what to do with the money. So instead of, you know,
another store.
Exactly.
You were just spending and expanding, which in the mind of a business owner, that just seems like a good thing to do, like a good business decision. Like, we're making money, why don't we have another one and another one and another one?
Right.
But are you saying, like, systems and processes and checklists? Like, as you expanded, you realized that you were weak in some of these areas, and you're like, okay, let's pump the brakes a little bit. Let's pull back. Let's go deep into the stores that are actually profiting and making money and get really, really good at it before we ever talk about expanding.
100%. I mean, we should have worked on what metrics we're measuring, some dashboarding stuff that we have now, reporting correctly, worked on our financials even better. I mean, worked on the processes, how we want to do things. Like, I always had this dream and vision of the stores, and I thought that we could get there through, you know, expansion. But then now you have 9 stores across 3 different states, very far away.
Yeah.
Like, it was very hard to make decisions. And so if you wanted to do one thing in one store, it's like, hey, like, by the time we get this rolled out to 9 stores, it's going to be a really long time. And so then I ended up just like, oh, we're not going to do it because it's going to be too difficult. And I wish we would have just stayed, you know, in Utah, honed our processes. We would have kept a lot more money than we ended up, because it was very expensive to expand.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you look at it and it's like, oh, like before I was like, oh, we could make $1 million more with a store a year. But then you think about the capital, the time, the expense, all these different things. But now I'm like, you know what I could have done? How easy it would have been just to add $1 million to the bottom line in Utah?
Because your overhead was already your overhead.
Yeah.
Your employees were already your employees.
Oh, dude, I had to go buy an office building, get a bunch of employees. I mean, my payroll got up to $2.5 million a month.
Wow.
And it was expensive. And now
sounds like
it. Then we bought a jet, and instead of buying one, we bought 3 of them, and then we had them chartering all over the place, and then we had different things going on. Mm-hmm. And so then I was using the jets to fly back and forth, and it just got into this big, huge corporate thing that I never really wanted.
Yeah.
I just wanted to be the best in the RV industry and, like, perfect the model that we were doing and change the RV industry. Mm-hmm. And it got out of control where I kind of had this point in my life. And, like, I'm young. I'm only 30.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was just staring out the window of my office building, watching all these cars go by, just miserable. Like, I don't want this life. I'm on the road all the time. This is never what I wanted. I'm so stressed out.
Yeah.
And we're not making as much money. And I'm kind of looking ahead of time. I'm like, it's not going to be what I wanted, because I never perfected what should have been done. And so I just made the decision to sell all the stores. We took a freaking bath, man. I mean, we lost a lot of money, but I was willing to lose the money and
just to relieve the stress.
Stress, yeah.
That's what some people don't understand is like, they're like, okay, there's always an exchange, right? There's always an exchange. You want this,
right?
What are you willing to give for that, right? And there's usually an exchange in terms of your mental health,
right?
You know, physical health. Like, there's a load that you have to bear that most people just don't understand and will never understand. And eventually it starts getting to the point where you're like, what the fuck am I doing?
Right.
What am I doing?
Right.
Like, I was happier when I made $250,000 a year and was going around the high-fiving people.
Yep.
And like,
yep,
it was smaller. It had a more of a family feel as a business.
Yep.
And now it's turned into this bigger, bigger, bigger thing. And I'm not having as much fun. The stress is through the roof. Yeah, it's a lot of money, but the exchange is no longer worth it. Right.
Right.
And that's what people need to ask themselves really is, what are you building? Why are you building it? And are you willing to sacrifice yourself through the build? Are you willing to go through these mental breakdowns pretty much,
right,
in order to exchange yourself for $1 million extra a year?
Right.
And in reality, you might say yes, but then you make the exchange and it's not for an extra million or two.
Right.
It's you lose $1 million or $2 million.
Right.
And now you're even more stressed, right? And
right,
there's more problems, there's more issues, more people to answer to. And that's what people don't understand is like, when it's more people to answer to, even though that you're the boss and everybody answers to you, that's really not the case.
Right.
All the problems, it's like a funnel, like just it, all the shit goes directly to you.
Right.
Like if it was an easy thing to fix or an easy problem to deal with, then they would have done it.
Right.
Right. When it's difficult, they don't understand what to do. And it's like, well, let's ask Jason.
Right.
Let's ask Jason.
Well, then, like, a lot of those times I didn't know the answers, right? Because
yeah,
I didn't perfect it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it would be
you're guessing.
Yeah. It'd be different if I had 10 or 15 years. Like, I have a buddy in the industry. The dude did about $700 million last year in sale. I mean, the dude's just, he's doing really, really well. But he looked at me and he was like, you're the freaking biggest idiot I've ever met, which I understood when he said that, because before I would look at all these guys in the RV industry and say, I can't believe you've been in the industry for 15 years. You have 2 locations. You're an idiot. Why don't you just go buy more? Keep growing.
Yeah.
And they're looking at me like, hey, you immature little asshole. Like, go buy all these stores and get so leveraged and get so overworked and get so spread thin that you don't even know what you're doing. Like, my stores are hitting my net retention percentages. I'm on point in all my stuff.
Yeah.
And then it's rinse and repeat when I go buy. But I was an idiot, and I'm just thinking, like, we're just making all this money, go buy. And, you know, we're getting hit. Yeah. Oh, this is easy. And then,
yeah,
because we were just started, I mean, dude, the money was just flowing in and we're like, oh, this is so easy. But we were growing and we were doing well in spite of ourselves because the market was gifting us all
yeah
of these sales. It wasn't because of us.
It wasn't strategy.
No, I had to have that big realization. But my buddy was like, dude, it took me 12 years in the industry before I ever made any money and then perfected it. And then he's been able to rinse and repeat his model, but he's done it in a very good way.
A predictable way.
Yeah. Where, you know, and then it still feels like that
yeah
small family because it's not out of control. Ours got way out of control.
Yeah.
And I remember literally sitting on the airplane. I think I was by myself coming back from a bunch of meetings in Oregon. And I mean, I'm on a, you know, beautiful jet and
yeah,
you know, all this good stuff, staring out the window saying, I could have had it, all of this stuff, if I would have just stayed and perfected everything that I had in Utah. And then I'm just kind of going through my mind of like everything what could have been, and I could have done this and wouldn't have lost this money. It would have been like, and you know, better home life because I'm on the road.
Yeah.
250 to 300 days a year,
mm,
all over the place. And then I'm like, even thinking about the plane, like, okay, I'm adding up how much the plane costs. I'm like, if I didn't have these stores and didn't have the plane, I'm spending all the profits on the plane to
yeah
get up there and back and forth all the time.
Yeah.
So I'm like, hey, you know, I landed. I remember calling a meeting that night and then, or you know, for the next day and saying, hey, I'm done. Like, I'm either gonna exit the entire thing or else I just want to get back to when I was happy, because I was remembering on that ride of like,
yeah,
when it was
nostalgia.
Yeah. When was my home life the best? When was I having the good time? When was my lifestyle so much? Because now it's like, oh, you're making all this money, but then okay, I can maybe go on 1 or 2 weeks a year on trips.
Yeah,
instead of where it's so much smaller. Yeah, you're making, I mean, because like more money does, like when you're making 2, 3, 4, 5 million, I mean, it's just money.
Yeah.
Like the lifestyle doesn't change a whole lot.
No.
And I remember, I think it was it Tony Robbins that said something, and he's like, look, like whether you make a billion or 10 million, the lifestyle is the same.
Yeah.
We might live in a 10,000 square foot house. Mine's paid for. You have a mortgage.
Yeah.
There's no difference. I might have a jet. You charter.
Yeah.
There's no difference. It's the same life. Like, so I'm like, cause I listened to that podcast and I'm like, man, like so true. Like I'm chasing what? Right.
Yeah.
I'm miserable.
What's the result?
Right.
It's chasing more to no end.
Right.
And if you don't know what you're doing it for, you're going to just end up chasing your tail.
Right.
Right. And then end up depressed.
Right.
And end up alone.
Because I think it was more ego driven.
Yeah.
Growth than it was.
Yeah.
Because then it was immature. Like instead of being like, hey, I'm going to become.
It's cockiness.
Yeah. Because we were doing so well.
Yeah.
We were doing like, so well.
Money's flowing.
I should have been like, hey, I'm not going to grow until our financials are reported like this, until we're closing at the 5th of every month, until like mature, a mature business owner would say, well, yeah, you idiot. But I'm like, hey, man, I'm all of a sudden you gave me all this money and I'm 27, 28 years old. We're making, I mean, a lot of money and I just wasn't mature enough. And so I had to kind of scale it back and like publicly scale it back, which I'm okay with. Cause I mean, I'm all over these, you know, podcasts and on these different things. Oh, we're growing. And I'm like, actually we're not like scale it back.
Yeah.
But now my whole goal is just, I'm getting hyper obsessed with perfection, which will never happen, but becoming the best customer service, the best to our vendors, the best to our employees, the best reporting, the best processes.
Yeah.
That's where my hyper obsession is now, instead of just chasing the growth. And I've been approached by a few people recently to buy their stores for free. Just take them
over. They're like,
and
we don't want it no more.
Yeah, I'm like, no, I'm good. But the old Jason, I'm like, sure, I'll do it because I get like—
More is more.
Yeah.
More is better.
And now I'm like, nope. Like I have to hit certain things, delayed gratification in my businesses right now and then stores right now to be able to do that. Because then I look at it, I'm like, okay, to add $1 million, I'm going to spend millions of dollars. It's going to take a lot of energy, a lot of time. And will it ever get to what I want it to be? I don't know. But if I could just stay where I'm at right now with the same amount of employees, the same footprint, the same everything, how can I just turn that up a little bit and then increase sales or increase profitability? So much easier there than it is going and spreading yourself so thin.
Yeah. Because again, as I said earlier, your overhead is your overhead. If it costs, $100,000 a month in overhead, why not just add 10 or 15% to the top line? Because the 100,000 is the 100,000,
right?
And then the rest of that is pure profit rather than going out there and risking.
Right.
You know, and I'm not saying don't risk, right? That's just a part of the game. We have to take risks, but it has to be calculated. Risk that is uncalculated is risk when you don't have systems and processes and there's not a strategy behind it where it's not predictable, right? When you're just doing because it feels like, okay, if I do this, more money will just get spit out of this machine, this business, right? And so
nothing we did was calculated.
Yeah. It was just maniac.
System of the wild ass guess every time that we woke up.
So you basically what you're talking about is the area or the stimulus era.
Right.
Is really what you're talking about, where people are getting money and they were already making good money. Then people were getting free money. And then people were getting loans that were, 3% on the EID, whatever business. And then what they're doing is throwing that into the economy and you are part of the economy taking advantage of that 2 or 3 year window.
Oh, yeah.
And then once that started to kind of dry up a little bit, you're like, okay, well, we were just eating good because the market was good. We weren't eating good because of systems and processes and things that are dialed in a way where we know what we're going to produce every single month. If we have X amount of people show up on the lot, then we have X amount of revenue coming in the door.
Right.
And so how do we get more people on the lot? Well, let's do this, 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 and this, right?
Which is crazy too, because like then I started looking at everything and getting so hyper upset. I mean, because it took me about a 30-minute meeting to decide to sell all the stores, because I'm like, and I kind of was like, having this mental thing of like, is it me? Is it us? Or is it the market? And then everything started to turn. The market started to turn and I didn't know how to come back. And I'm like, if I don't know how to do it, it's the market gave us this. I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Sell them. And so like it was I'm very thankful for how fast we made the decisions, because if it would have kept going, it would have got way worse.
Yeah.
And so we sold the dealerships. And then it's getting like, okay, how do I, you know, like, and then I started having some actual legitimate mentors in my life that have been through,
ups and downs,
yeah. And specifically in dealerships, because I've had mentors when, you know, that haven't been in dealerships. And then I started to get around some people that have been in dealerships, and I'm like, man, it's a completely different game. And so they're teaching me what metrics to look at. And I'm like, I never even like thought about this.
Your metric was your bank account.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I have a dad who is extremely, extremely successful. I mean, the dude's done multiple billions of dollars in sales, owned a bunch of different companies for 40 years. But this mentor of mine was like, your dad wasn't a business owner. And I'm like, wanted to punch him to the phone. I'm like, yes, he was. He owned all these businesses. He's like, hey man, owning businesses and operating businesses is completely different. Mm. You never watched your dad. I mean, we also own a bunch of restaurants. He's like, you never saw your dad work in the restaurant, did you? I'm like, no. And he's like, so he was an investor. It's very different looking at an investor and a business owner versus an operator. Two completely different ball games. And I started to think about that. I'm like, I've watched my dad be an investor my whole life. Yeah, we lived in a 20,000+ square foot home, and we had all these crazy things, and life was great. But I'm like, I never really saw him work, because he was always a more of an investor. Now, he was in network marketing. That was his main thing. And I watched him, you know, bust his ass for a long time. And so this mentor of mine was like, don't take this offense. Like, but being an operator, which you're going to have to be, is a completely different thing than what you're trying to do and what you've done. Because I was kind of more on the passive side.
Mm.
And so we reversed everything. I let go. We sold those stores. I let go pretty much 100% of my corporate staff. My two main guys, actually, I'll never forget this. He'd been with me, one of them had been with me since the beginning, and he was like my partner. They both walked out on me at the same time, and I was literally on an airplane, and they just shot me a text and said, hey, we're done. We're effective immediately. We're out of here. And so obviously I'm on the plane. I can't do anything. And so I started getting all these text messages, and you know, everybody's losing their mind, and I'm like actually excited, because now I get to do what I want to do instead of having to feel like I have to get permission from all these people. Cause then I was spending more of my energy talking these guys into what I want to do. So it seems like a good idea instead of just executing what I want to do.
Yeah.
So then reeling all that back, and then it's just becoming a machine and an operator with this good mentor, and paying attention to the metrics that I have to do has completely changed the entire landscape of our company. I mean, we've been able to flip the cash flow situation, flip the inventory situation, like actual operate the business like I've always wanted to and dreamed of, with everybody getting out of there. And then getting mentor in my life that's like, hey, these are the things you have to do. It's been insane. You guys are
They were just leaving because they felt as though that it was going under.
One of them did not believe in me, and the other one felt like I was pushing him out, which I was, because I'm like, hey, you're running the company and we're going out of business. Like, so I started asking him a lot of questions, very hard questions, because this dude is my brother. I mean, he couldn't answer.
Yeah.
And he blamed everybody else. And I'm like, the last time I checked, you were their boss. Like, where's the accountability to you? Oh, well, and you just make all these excuses. And so, like, him getting out of there was just a conversation that was about, you know, bound to happen.
Yeah.
But then it was really cool to see all my GMs kind of freaked out a little bit, because they haven't been with me. They really, all everything was ran through this guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because they didn't know how I operated. And so it took me about a month or two to get the trust back and to work with everybody. But now, I mean, we're crushing it. I mean, I'm super happy.
That's cool.
I mean, it's been really cool to see.
So when you're saying like you want to have a bigger company absorb you and have smaller ownership of something much bigger, or are you going to try to be the big dog and start gobbling up other ones if this whole conglomerate thing's happening? Like, what's the plan for you in that regard?
For me, if I could figure out a way to be a part of a bigger group and have ownership, like a small percentage of ownership with no risk, right? Like, I have a $50 million credit. I mean, and that's 100% guaranteed by me. I mean, if anything happened to me, there goes my whole life.
Yeah.
So if I could de-risk myself, get paid out, cashed out, de-risk myself, be part of something bigger, and then, you know, 10 or 15 or 20% of a multi-billion-dollar company is a lot better than, you know, all the stress and the risk of having 100% of a hole right now.
Yeah. Well, they say that, you know, a slice of a watermelon is greater than the whole grape.
Right.
Right. And so if it's worth billions, you know, and you have a slice of that, it's a lot better than something that's worth $50 million.
Right.
And you own 100% of the stress.
Yeah. And the stress, or like,
whatever.
Because I was thinking, you know, there's you know, possible deal going on right now that I mean, I've been offered a bunch of stuff because now the industry is going down and we're just skyrocketing. And the manufacturers are kind of telling on me because of how much I'm ordering. They can see how many I'm selling and how much So they're calling all these other people saying, hey, Jason's doing well.
Why are you guys doing well?
All these guys are calling me saying, hey, remember when you tried to sell to us, you know, 6 months ago? And I'm like, yeah, you told me to freaking pound sand and go to hell and you don't want anything to do with me. Screw you. So, but there's one guy that I, me and him, like we're super tight.
Yeah.
So I'm like, yeah, maybe that would be a cool opportunity. He's got a really cool brand, very, very similar, same beliefs. Like everything is very, very good there. And what he's really good at, I'm not. What I'm really good at, he's not. So it's a very good synergy there. So I've been thinking about maybe that because I do know it is coming.
Yeah.
And then it would give me, you know, a lot of opportunity to stop worrying about,
yeah,
now I got to go to this accounting meeting because that would be taken care of. Now I got to go to this meeting because that would be taken care of. I just get to focus on being an operator and a machine. Yeah. And then I would still pretty much make the same amount of money and probably way more than I am now.
Yeah.
So it's like, why? Like if I know this is coming, a lot of stress on me, a lot of things
consolidate.
You know, because I know that it's coming.
I mean, there's decision fatigue that comes in. When every decision has to go through you, it starts getting exhausting. And like we said, is the juice worth the squeeze?
Right.
Right. And you have to start asking yourself that. You know, I was on a call with somebody and he goes, man, I just don't feel like I'm where I want to be. You know, young individual, a couple of years ago, only making $200 to $300. Now he's making $800, $900, close to $1 million a year.
Right.
And he's kind of beating himself up thinking that he should be further along. And I said, for what, dude? I said, bro, you could buy $1 million house. Cool. Then you make more money and you buy a $3 million house. Cool. Eventually a house just becomes a house.
Right.
A car eventually just becomes a car, right? It's only exciting when it's new.
Right.
Anything that your brain sees over and over and over, it becomes familiar with it. And then expects it. And if it expects it, it's no longer exciting.
Right.
And so what you need to understand is you need to start designing your life in a way that makes you happy and fulfilled, not chasing money, hoping that the bigger house or the nicer car is going to bring you something long term that just doesn't exist.
Right.
Right. Now, can it bring you something short term and get that dope? Yes.
Like,
you know, every time you get in a brand new car, it's going to feel good when it starts up.
Right.
Right. But in 6 months, your brain is predicting that car to start and sound badass. Just, and now it's just another day in the life of you.
Right.
Right. And so it's like that. That's really what the majority of entrepreneurs need to figure out. It's like, okay, What type of money do I want to make, and then eventually start delegating out these stresses and these responsibilities to other people in an organization, because I have now created a life that is by design and that I get to live in a way that makes me happy, right? Like flying on a jet, somebody looking at you like, oh, man, I really want that. That would make me happy. They don't know that you're up there just stressed as hell,
right,
wondering what the am I going to do,
right,
because my business is like, dude, it looks really cool from the outside,
right?
But you don't know what somebody else is going through. You maybe would have been better off hunkering down, small house, small cars, delayed gratification for 3 years, stacked $10, $20 million in the bank, then consolidated or partnered with somebody and just ripping, you know, a million or two a year out of that business with a huge nest egg. And now you get to live the life that Jason wants to live and do whatever he wants to do. And people go into entrepreneurship or go into starting a business for freedom. In reality, what you're doing is you got to be a fucking Houdini, because what you're doing is you're chaining yourself to something for a mass amount of time, maybe 2 decades. And the whole time you're trying to figure out how to unchain yourself so that you could find freedom.
Right.
So you 9-to-5 person has more freedom. Let's just call a spade a spade. It is true. Now, they might not have the financial freedom to take certain vacations, but guess what? Like a trip to California to go to the beach and they stay in a Motel 6, like when their kids are running around on the beach and playing on the beach, it's the same experience versus you renting the beach house for $10,000 that week and the kids running around on the beach. The memories are going to be very similar.
Right.
To the kids don't really give a shit. You're the one that gives a shit.
Right.
Your ass just don't want to get in the car and drive to the beach. You just right. want to walk out to it, right?
Yeah.
But what did it take for that to happen? What right. are you sacrificing in order for that 1 week to be, you know, six blocks closer to where you don't have to drive to the beach, right?
Right.
That exchange that I was talking about earlier. And so, like, I had to come to that realization. Like, literally, I'm like, okay, well, if I was going to retire and I had all the money in the world, what would my life look like? So why don't I start designing that and living that now so that I don't end up in a plane resenting the very thing that has the ability to generate the type of income to change my life, right?
Right.
And so it's like there's this song and dance that we have to, you know, sing and do when we're trying to build a business, and it's fucking delicate,
yeah,
right?
Like yeah.
it one step in the wrong direction, like snowballs way over here, and then next thing you know, you're like,
yeah,
messed up.
Well, and then you know, I'm only 30, but
yeah,
hell, 20 years goes by, and it's like, what did I just miss?
Yeah, right?
Like I was talking with one of my really really well, I'm actually related to him. I shouldn't say really good friends, but one of my really good friends. One of my family members is extremely wealthy. You know, EBITDA way north of 100 million a year. I mean, the dude is what I think living the high life, right? And I was talking to him not too long ago, and he was like, man, I'm thinking about selling this and selling that and selling this and selling that. And I'm like, dude, you're crazy. Like, what I would do to have a business with that much prep? And he looked at me, he's like, it's not worth it, dude.
Yeah.
It's not worth it. If I just had a couple pieces of real estate paying me a couple $100,000 a month, man, that's the greatest life in the world. Simple. I get to spend time with my kids. I'm not missing soccer games. He's like, you know what I do? I'm like, yeah, I mean, you have a really nice Gulfstream. He's like, yeah, but I live on the Gulfstream. Like, he's like, I can tell you, and I hate it. Like, the plane just means work to me. That's why sometimes when he goes on vacation, he charters a different plane because he hates being on that plane so much. Because
it reminds him of work.
He's living on it. And I'm like, ah, dang, like that kind of.
It's depressing.
Like, yeah. And I'm like, well, what's the point of all this? And he was like, Jason, I don't know. I don't know why I did it all. And he kind of spiraled and got out of control. He owns a big shipping company, a few thousand trucks. And he's like, it just got bigger and got bigger and got bigger and got bigger and got bigger. And I'm like, man, like that's interesting. And that, you know, that's why he's like teaching me a lot about real estate right now. Cause it's, you know, the shit completely different.
Use the vehicle that's spitting out cash right now to create a whole new vehicle with that has a lot less stress and that could be automated.
Yeah, and that's what he was like, dude, I'm just like, he's only 40, he's like 44, 40, I don't know, he's just, I remember when he turned 40 because I was with my wife, so it was only a few years ago. So, but he was like, man, I just want to be there for my kids now and I just want to design things now, which is completely opposite of what I grew up with. I grew up with my mom and dad. Like, I remember our first vacation, family vacation, didn't have to do with network marketing, was when I was in ninth grade. My mom and dad would be gone 2-3 months in a row, right? Like,
yeah,
mom and dad being home was way weirder than them being gone. Like, it was just an expectation for them to be gone. About 320 days a year, they were gone, on the road, gone. Straight. Like, if they were flying over Utah, they'd land at the little airport, we'd go see them, they had an airplane, we'd go see them, and they were gone. And so you ask my dad, hey, do you regret anything? He said, absolutely not. Like, don't regret anything. But then you ask a lot of these other guys, they're like, oh yeah, like I should have done this different, I should have done that different. Yeah. I mean my mom and dad missed everything, in like, especially with my older sister, because she was right in the heat of everything when they were building the business. Now they built a great business, helped a lot of people, so I'm very happy with what they did. But it's funny because it's just so different for so many people. So my mindset was always that, like, I don't care about this, I don't care about that, like missing this is doesn't matter, missing that doesn't matter. But then when my daughter comes up to me, she's like, hey, you didn't come to my dance competition. You should have seen me do this. You should see me do that. And I'm like, oh, man, that hurts. Like, that sucks. And so, like, when you think about money, like, money is just money. And the one thing that I am very kind of grateful for is I grew up with extreme wealth in my parents' friends with extreme wealth. We lived in the 20,000 square foot house.
Yeah.
We drive the nice cars. We had a jet. We had all these things all over the place. So I don't really care about it, because it didn't really mean anything. Like, I was a miserable kid just wanting my mom and dad to be home in a 20,000 square foot house with a basketball court and paintball paintball field in the back, airsoft field in the back, shooting range, all these different cool things that people would say, oh, that's so cool. But, but I never got to do with my dad, never played basketball with my dad, never did anything with my dad and mom. So, like, that doesn't mean happiness, right?
Yeah.
And so, like, with my life now, like, you know, this last year we were building a nice house. We ended up kind of just letting it go. We lost our money on it because I'm like told my wife, I'm like, this is not going to make us happy.
Yeah.
Make us stressed out. Like, yeah. Why are we fighting about a home? It should be a happy, beautiful thing.
Yeah.
And luckily, like we live in a, you know, pretty small house, and I haven't really done anything like that because I live through that. I don't really care about it.
Yeah.
I want to go to Mexico with the family. I want to go spend time with, like, I work down here in St. George on a vacation.
Yeah.
Like, I want to go do things like that to just have experiences and spend time with my family, but then try to design that life, like what that means. And, you know, through this deal that possibly is on the table for the dealerships, I was kind of talking to my wife. I'm like, I think our lifestyle would increase.
Yeah.
Because, and I literally just having a conversation with my father-in-law this morning, and he's like, oh, we could buy another house. And I'm like, no. Well, wait, I wouldn't be so worried about like having a huge, like massive nest egg because you could, I mean, I could burn through $2-3 million in cash in a few weeks at the dealerships in a day.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had a payoff, you know, because we finance our inventory. I mean, we pay off, I mean, inventory $2-3 million a day. And if we don't have it, I got to come up with the money. And so I'm like, that would be so weird to not have to worry about that, where it's 100% taken care of for me. That I could now take money and maybe go build wealth in different areas,
yeah.
But then still keep grinding in the dealerships and technically make the same amount of money, if not more. I'm like, I don't even know what to do. Like, it's almost like Ricky Bobby. Like, I don't know what to do with my hands. Yeah. I would not know what to do.
Well, I don't, dude. It's you go through a no man's land, right? In other words, unfamiliar territory, right? Because the RV dealership, like, that's all you know,
right?
And the stresses that you do, that's what you know, that's what you're familiar with. And I'll tell you what, every single time, so I ran one of our companies, handed it over to Coulter, that now currently runs it, and I remember just like looking over his shoulder, and I'm like, right. Dude, say this, do this, like when he's on calls or whatever,
right?
And he finally looks at me, he's like, dude, will you just get the fuck out of here,
right?
Go home, dude. And like at that point, I was just like, I would always complain about this business that created problems, that created stress. But at the exact same time, I didn't know what to do without it.
Right.
And so like I was like looking over his shoulder when it was his job to take over the day-to-day responsibilities. But I was still there because it was just something like I'm there. That's just like part of my routine. I wake up, I do this, and I go to this place,
right?
And I do these things, right? Like that's what my mind's familiar with, and that's what it craves, even though there was a lot of stress and a lot of pressure to go along with that,
right?
And then it's the same thing with Easier Accounting, hiring a CEO 18 months ago, and it's like you just show up to the office and like high five people and try to be the culture, but eventually you're kind of twiddling your thumbs like, what the do I do now?
Right?
Like, even though that's what people say that they want, when you get there, that's still a no man's land that you have to figure out.
Right.
It's unfamiliar territory that you still have to figure out, because now you have this problem of having an identity of being this guy and doing these things with inside of the business. What happens if you take that all away and now you're just a guy?
Right.
You know, and people aren't hitting you up and you don't have to deal with the problems and there's so many different things that kind of go on that we complain about. But if we don't have it, we actually kind of miss it.
Right.
Right. Like as a parent, you know, the noise, well, you got to be quiet. And then the older generation's like, you're going to miss those footsteps running around the house when your house is really quiet, when you're old. Right. Like. And so I'm sure that's true. I haven't experienced that yet. My kids are still, you know, I'm still yelling at them to be quiet.
Right.
You know?
Right.
But, you know, I've had the experience of removing myself of, you know, kind of the operation side of things several times over. And it's a doozy.
Yeah.
You know, every single time. And so it's funny that you say smaller house. Like, I've managed money very, very well. Like, I don't know too many people that manage their money or are as disciplined with their money as I have been. But I finally got to a point where I had, you know, there's seven figures in the bank, you know, everything's good. And so when I was growing up, I grew up very poor, you know, like lights getting shut off, having to light candles, watching my mom cry to the utility department saying, I'll pay you $50 on Friday if you could please just turn it on.
Right.
You know, or whatever. And so I would drive by these houses that were up on a hill, here. It's called Stone Cliff. You probably know Stone Cliff.
Yep.
And so that's rich. I'm going to live and have a house on a hill one day. That's going to be me, right? And so I sacrificed and I built and I put my acorns away, right?
Right.
Finally have the money. And so I go buy a 1 acre premier lot, right? It's one of 12 overlooking Little Valley, you know? And so it's like, I finally get a look down on people for once, you right. know, I'm going to be the guy, you right. know, and build the big massive dream home, and have the pool overlooking the whole city. Like it, I finally made it.
Right.
So I go up there, I pay $500,000 cash for the 1 acre lot. When I bought it, I lost all motivation.
Really?
I didn't care. It's like, how many times do we just run the play and do what we think that we should be doing, building the business, like buying the big house or building the big house, driving this type of car?
Right.
Why? Because we're programmed ever since we were little watching TV, the business successful guy, they live in these type of gated neighborhoods. They drive these type of cars. So all we're doing is just honoring the program that we think is success, right? And so I was going down that path, honoring what the little poor boy in me thought was definition of success.
Right.
When in reality, all I was doing was honoring the definition of success that society says success is. When in reality, true success is just knowing that you're successful here and that you're good here.
Right.
Right. And so I lost all motivation. I was going to build the big house, have the, you know, and it was, I was going to be the man finally.
Right.
Everybody was going to know that drug addict, the stupid kid in school, the poor boy, finally made it and is more successful than them.
Right. Right?
And so why did I lose motivation? Starting to audit, ask yourself why are you doing what it is that you do? Why are you buying the things that you buy? Why do you live where you live? Is that really where you want to be? Or are you just kind of running some sort of automation, some programming of what society says that you should do if you have this type of income or make that type of money? And so when me and my wife sat down and we did an audit and we're just like, you know, we sat there for a year and a half or 2 years with this lot and we just didn't even create plans.
Really?
Nothing. You know, we just sat on it and then it's like, what do we want? And we're like, dude, we just want land. Instead of being in the middle of a bunch of people competing with each other about who has the most money, who has the nicest wakeboard boat, who has the nicest car, who has the biggest house, the best view out of their backyard. Like, is that really an environment that I think that my kids should grow up in and that will help them be a child?
Right.
And in reality, the answer was no. The answer was, if I buy a chunk of land, they're going to go run around and they're going to be kids. They're going to run on the land. They're going to have fun actually doing what kids should be doing rather than living in the 20,000 square foot house with the paintball thing in the back and the basketball court and all that, but still not being happy or fulfilled as that child.
Right.
Because you really didn't have a normal childhood.
Right.
You had the childhood that everybody would think that they would want.
Right.
But still, dude, there's demons at every single level.
Oh, yeah. Right?
Whether it's the poor level or the 20,000 square foot house level, there's, you know, I had to deal with the problem of not wanting to have people come to my house because I was so embarrassed by it.
Right.
You know, and everybody would probably want to come to your house, but you still, you know,
using and abusing us. And
yeah.
It's funny because like we would sit there at basketball games and like our, you know, people that, like my mom and dad talked so little about money. We didn't think it was a big deal. Like,
everybody has it.
Everybody has. So like,
That's normal to the environment that you're in.
Right. Or, and even if like our friends in like school, like our peers, like didn't have money, we didn't think anything of it. Cause like my mom and dad, I mean, my mom and dad had a lot of money, but they drove, you know, a 2005 Chevy Tahoe. And then my mom in 2011 bought a 2011 Subaru Outback. And then she had that for a real long time until she bought a BMW X3 that was, or X1 that was a rebuilt title. Like, my mom and dad live, like, my dad only shops at Walmart. My mom only shops at, like JCPenney. Like,
that's crazy.
Like, we flew coach. My mom and dad took their plane because my mom and my dad would be like, what do you think you deserve to sit on the plane? The empty seats are going to be empty. You didn't do anything to deserve get on the plane. So fly commercial. So we had a limo, which is kind of funny, but they would buy the limo and drop mom and dad off at the jet. And then we would literally drive on the other side of the airport and then we'd hop on commercial flight and end up at the same place. Like, well, like they were super hard on us. Like we clocked in, clocked out of jobs. I literally have time cards, like clock in, clock out. So we didn't think, like, my dad is always like, you're broke. I'm not with you. You can't choose what you order. Like my mom and dad order for us because we're with them. They're not with us. So we couldn't order what we wanted for food. It was like cheapest thing on the menu. You know, if it's kids meals, all the $4.99 kids meals, or probably then was like $2.99 kids meals. Order whatever you want. But I mean, I think when I went on a date for the first time, when I was in like high school, I ordered a soda and didn't even really know. Like, I'm like, am I going to get in trouble? And like, I remember going to with my now wife, we went to this, you know, Mexican restaurant we love. And they're like, do you want cheese in your salsa? And I said, no. And she said, yes. And I'm like, it's a dollar.
Yeah.
And then she's like, yeah. And I'm like, it's
everything
a dollar
around money.
Yeah. And so my dad, because my mom and dad would punch you in your face if you, they would be like, absolutely
no
not.
Extras.
Yeah. No, like, we're not paid anymore for cheese. And so it's kind of like this like super interesting childhood where they were so cheap, but like everything that they did had to have an ROI. Like if the plane had to create the money, the 20,000 square foot house was only to show that they had a lifestyle and network marketing so you could have
so that they could sell
they
the
could
lifestyle.
Sell the dream, right? Yeah. Everything was calculated in my dad's life. Mm. And as the network market has started to wind down, so did everything else. Selling everything, selling the big. I mean, we had a 45-foot Liberty Prevo bus that was a tour bus. I mean, gorgeous. Now they're $3 or $4 million, but they were $1 million back then.
Yeah.
Started to wind everything down because he's like, this
I don't
was
need
not
that.
For me. This was for everybody else. And so we never really cared about that. But going back to, you know, school is we'd be playing a basketball game and we'd see, you know, our friends and their, you know, mom and dad in the stands and we're like, I remember sitting there on the bench and be like, that's just what, that's all I want.
Yeah.
Like, cool mom and dad are out there doing their thing. Now, I'm very grateful because they taught us a lot about business and they were, you know, very well known, all these different things. But, man, we just want them there. And, like, my sister still to this day, deep resentment towards my mom and dad. Mm. I mean, there's a lot of trauma there of not ever being there for a single dance, a single birthday, a single, like, mom and dad being home for our birthday was weird. We got lucky because they took pretty much December off for Christmas and hanging around. My birthday's December 20th.
Yeah.
My sister resents me and my brother for that all because I have a twin brother.
Yeah.
Deep. She's like, mom and dad, like, I remember
they
going
always
to her
there
house.
For you.
Yeah. I mean, my sister bounced to Canada because of it. She didn't want to be anything to do with the family because she's like, they don't, like, there's no, like, so you think about, like, oh, up on the hill, because we were up on the hill, which is kind of funny. You know, we have 250 acres of property. I mean, you could do whatever you wanted to up there. And it's funny because we always look down and I'm like, I hate the mountain. I just want to be down there.
Yeah.
And and it's kind of perspective, right? So, and it kind of a little tangent here, but I was in Massachusetts with a good friend. I was actually speaking at a network marketing conference. And my buddy had a probably 15, 20,000 square foot home right on the beach. This insane home. Dude, I'm just drooling over this.
Yeah.
This is the most amazing thing. And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, we roll up to his house and there's a for sale sign in front of him. I'm like, you're selling this? Are you the, how can you? He's like, dude, we don't care anymore. I'm like, what do you mean you don't care anymore? The beach is right there. Like literally your driveway, the main road was the edge of the beach. So there was grass and road beach. Like, and then you turn into his driveway. That's how close he was to the beach. And he was like, let me ask you one thing. How many times we go out there and we just gawk over the mountains? I'm like, all the time, you guys are annoying about it. He was like, so do you look at the mountains every day when you drive up that driveway? And I'm like, no. And he was like, I'd never look at the ocean. I don't even know what the ocean looks like. I couldn't tell you what the beach looks like. I couldn't tell you anything. So I don't care. You just get numb to it.
Yeah.
There's nothing driving me to have this home anymore. Kind of like what you're talking about. Yeah. The drive just, you lose it. And that has never left me. So I'm like, now, like with all this stuff in business, I'm like, how do I keep myself exciting? And it kind of was the thrill of building dealerships. And so I got myself a little bit in trouble. But now I have to like get like have hobbies and do things. And like now it's like, I'm going to have a weird goal of like, hey, I just want to actually focus on my marriage. I just want to have a focus on my relationship with my kids. I just want to have a focus on, you know, relationship with this and that. And then design my business life around that because I'm like sitting there with this guy that has everything in the world, and he's like selling his house because
he doesn't care.
And he's moving into a 4,000 square foot house inland. Like, yeah. I'm like, I can't even. But he's like, you're doing the same thing. And I'm like, yeah, but it's just the mountains. And he's like, dude, the mountains are the most beautiful thing in the world. And I'm like, but so is that. He's like, it's just perspective. Like, it's just complete. Like, it's just, it's all it is. Yeah. Is I'm numb to it. I've had this for 20 years. You've had that your whole life. And so now, like, now I live out in way west, out by Antelope Island. I love looking at the mountains. I never realized how beautiful they were.
And you were on it, bro.
I was on it.
You were on it.
On it. Like, yeah. Dude, we would wake up and have probably 50 to 6, sometimes more, herd of elk in our backyard. Moose literally laying on our patios. Like, we had more deer and coyotes and all mountain lions and bobcat. Did we? I mean, it was the coolest thing in the world.
Yeah.
That was kind of thrilling. But the mountain, dude, I didn't care about it. But now I literally just sit back on my back porch just staring at him, being like, man, look at those colors. I never realized the colors.
Yeah.
So it's just perspective. And it's crazy how different it can be if everybody up there is looking down at you saying, man, I just want to be back down there and how to live,
And everybody down there wants to.
Yeah.
Everybody just wants what they don't have.
But they don't, like, do you think there's some part of us that almost like hyper, like worship's an extreme, but like hyper, like we think that getting something is going to be more than what it really is?
It is every time. Everybody thinks that.
Right.
The dream that we make up in our mind of what it's going to feel like and what it's going to be like is always different than reality.
Because I remember buying my first Rolex, and the day that I bought it, I actually went and saw Diesel Dave and Keaton and all those guys. And I'm like wearing it, and I'm like
trying to show it off.
I'm like, hey, how's it going? You know, what's going on? And no, not a single person said anything about my watch.
Yeah.
And I like going home and be like, people just really don't care. And then I started thinking about, like, well, did I buy it for them or did I buy it for me? I'm like, I kind of bought it for them.
Yeah.
I didn't really buy it for me. And now, I mean, I have
a box full of watches
and I never, like, I was talking to Carlos Reyes the other night on Instagram, and because he posted like the watches, the cars, the Lambos, nothing, because he was showing his two little boys at Turtle Bay and in Hawaii.
Yeah.
And he's like, this is what life is about. I'm like, man, I feel the same way. Like, I have a box, I have a Rockwell because Johnny Ritchie's a good buddy of mine that owns Rockwell. Yeah. He gave me a Haugen RV watch. I wear that every day.
Yeah.
And I have a box full of Rolex. I'm like, I don't really care about them. Now I have one that is nostalgic because my dad had it.
Yeah.
And it's like, reminds me of my dad.
That like, has more meaning.
But it just sits there.
Yeah.
Right? But it's like, I didn't even, like before, dude, I couldn't walk out of the house without my
shiny
stuff on, right?
Yeah.
I'm like rolling down the road the other day, or yesterday coming down here, and I'm like, look at my wrist. I'm like, I don't have a wedding ring and I don't have my watch. And my wife was like, do you know how to handle yourself? And I'm like, I just don't care.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just don't care anymore. I just want to be the best I can be, the best boss I can be, and then create this family in the dealerships and really focus on my family. Like, I'm divorced. So that was in last place in my eyes because I kind of viewed my mom and dad as maybe I felt like we were last place. So I kind of viewed my family as last place. So it was a little bit odd there. And so I got divorced over it. Luckily, I have a fantastic relationship with my ex-wife. She's, I love her to death, love her husband to death. I mean, we have a great relationship. My wife and her hang out all the time. But now I just want to focus on my relationship with my wife, my daughter, having a good time, like, and then making the business, just focus on the business where it can just do what fulfills me.
Yeah.
Not getting so big where I'm like,
oh, you're utilizing the business to serve you rather than, you know, you having to be shackled and serve the business constantly.
It's intention.
Yeah.
Right? Like, a buddy of mine was like, look, man, everything you have to do is intentional. And I'm like, wait, talking about how much money you're going to lose? Because we lose money. I'm like, I'm probably going to lose $500,000 this month. He's like, probably, might, you know, are you going to lose it? And I'm like, okay, I'll lose 500 grand. Why? How many trailers are you going to sell for what loss, for what? And then you're going to lose 500 grand. Be so intentional that you know exactly why you're going to lose
predictable.
It. Yep. And so now I'm like, everything I want to do is intentional and I have to have a reason for it and having intention in there. And it's drastically changed. And now, dude, I'm the most fulfilled. I'm the busiest I've ever been because I'm back in the sack.
Yeah.
But the cool thing, I'm not in an office. I'm in the dealerships. I'm talking to customers. I'm doing deals. I'm having a good time.
You're in the mix.
And I'm the happiest, most fulfilled, the best marriage, the best, you know, relationship with my kids that I've ever had.
Yeah.
And I'm busier, but I'm doing the things that fills me up, not just sitting in an office just sitting in a chair. You know, waiting for the next person, waiting for the next Zoom meeting, waiting for the next person to come and try to pitch me this and pitch me that. Like, man, I just want to be out with my team, be out with customers, having a good time.
Well, to me, what I took out of it is you're starting to check in with yourself.
Yeah.
Right? Like, does this watch give me what I want the watch to give me, or does it create a perspective about me that basically you're trying to control the narrative?
Right.
Right? You're trying to control what other people think about you, so you're just doing what you think that you need to do in order to control their perspective,
right,
that you are successful, that you are this, you are that, whatever. I'll tell you this much, bro. Like, I still have my other house here in St. George. I moved to Virgin, you know, town of 900 people right outside of Zion. You know, I'm having a renter come in and rent that next week, my old house. But
nice.
I downsized.
Right.
Bro, like, the house that we moved into, yes, it has a little bit of land. It's only 3.2 acres,
that's awesome.
But it's right on the river.
Oh, heck
it.
Yeah.
Has an orchard, a horse pasture. We have our chickens. Like, the irrigation, when I turn it on, me and my son get a skim board in our own property. We get a walk to the edge of the property and go tubing in the summertime. I built a BMX track in my horse pasture for him to ride his bike. Like, so I'm creating an environment. Instead of yelling at my kids to go outside or get off the phone or get off the, I'm creating an environment that they want to go outside and they get to enjoy their upbringing and enjoy being kids, right? And right. So it's like, that has brought me more peace and fulfillment when I open my gates and I hear the gravel on my tires, you know, than pulling up to that big house in a, you know, overlooking the city.
Right.
Like, I when I wake up in the morning, I hear the wild turkeys are walking through the property.
Right.
Right? I hear the rooster crowing. I hear, like,
right,
there's deer on the property. It's just calm.
Right.
It's peace. And in reality, we should all be building a life or a business that can create a life that brings us peace,
right,
and fulfillment. Happiness is a whole different thing.
Right.
Happiness will come and go, right? Yes, mm-hmm. Buying something can make you happy for a micro moment, right? But having peace is a whole nother story. Having
right.
fulfillment is a whole nother ball game, because you could be sad and still be at peace.
Right.
Right. You hear people at funerals, hey, I'm just at peace with it all, even right. though they're crying.
Right.
Right. They're not saying I'm happy about it.
Right.
But they're at peace with it.
Yeah.
Right. You can be at peace through all of the emotions that every human experiences. Right.
Right.
But in reality, building a business and then just honoring what society says success is, and you start buying the watches and the cars and the houses, hoping that it's going to create a feeling for you, you're going to be left even more empty, more hollow than the version of you when you first started down the path to try to build something that would create that. Because at least when you started, there was hope that these things would create a specific feeling.
Right.
The problem is when you actually get there and the feeling isn't there, now you're empty. Now what? Where's the hope? What am I doing it all for?
It almost feels worse.
It is worse.
Because instead of being like, you almost think that you're going to have this extreme high by buying something, and because you don't, you go lower than where you were. Because then you get depressed and being like, well, this was supposed to make all my wildest dreams come true.
Yeah.
This watch was supposed to make everybody talk
it's
to
frustrating.
Me. This is like, I'm at a restaurant. I'm being like, oh yeah, actually I got a stretch, you know, and then no one's like, dude, we don't care. And then you start to think like, okay, like a lot of people actually have these watches. Like really nobody cares. And so it was a really big realization for me. It's like, people just don't care.
Yeah.
So like, why am I trying to build all these things for everybody else when, like, going back to it, like, sitting on that airplane, like, I felt like at a war with myself, because I'm like, I'm not doing what I want to do. I'm doing everything for everybody else because, you know, everybody else
got
out of hand. I want to grow, and let's do more. And it got out of hand, and I'm sitting there like, I'm literally flying on a really nice jet. Our pilots are sitting up there. I'm eating food, and I'm like, this is not what I want.
Yeah.
I don't want because everything is stress. I don't care how much money you have. Paying the plane hangar and all that's the expense. I mean, it's stressful. All this stuff is stressful. And it's like, I just want to go back to the three locations in Utah where I was having so much fun. Because I remember it was all during COVID.
Yeah.
And for some reason, like I remember just coming to my in, like I basically lived in my in-laws because my mom and dad were, they had a house up in not Yellowstone, and they're like, hey, we're COVIDing up in Yellowstone. See you guys. And so, you know, I didn't really ever see them. And so, but I remember like, for some reason, like the smells of the home cooked bread that my mother-in-law would make every day.
Yeah.
The family time every day. And I'm like, man,
that's what it's
three locations.
Yeah.
I had dinner every night with you guys. I was hanging out with my daughter, hanging out with my wife, I was hanging out with everybody. Like, that's what I want. I mean, and we had a lot of money. We were more profitable and more making more money than we ever have. And that was kind of like during COVID, an awkward time of like, is everything going out of business? Is everything coming back? I was still happy. And it's like, I can control everything. I didn't have this corporate building. I didn't have all these people telling me what to do. I did everything. I lived an intentional life every day. I chose what dealership to go to. I chose how we did things. And then it got so out of control where I feel like I'm a prisoner in my own business.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, you could say, I'm sure people can listen to this like, oh, well, you didn't do it the right way. Well, absolutely not, because I didn't know what I was doing, right?
Yeah.
And so I had to have that realization of saying, okay, reel everything back. And I think one of my mentors was like, when were you the happiest? I'm like, man, it was 2020, 2021. I just had three locations. It was 2020 when I had three locations and I saw my family every day and I had the home cooked meals. I remember the bread. I remember the smells. I remember going out and like the sun, like I remember having a good time doing what I was doing.
Yeah.
And
well, that
you create it.
It's the money doesn't necessarily buy the smell of the bread.
No,
you don't have to be rich to make homemade bread, right?
I never, like,
and
my whole goal was
with
like,
your family. You
my whole goal was
rich.
Like, oh, by the jet, you'll be home for dinner. I never was home for dinner.
Yeah.
I was gone more than I ever had been. Like, it didn't do anything that I thought I was
going to increased your responsibilities that made you have to stay on it in order to pay for it.
Yeah, yeah. Because now you have all these expenses, and like, well, now I have to go do all this stuff because we're not going to be able to pay for all this stuff. And it's like, in reality, like, I didn't need all that stuff. I didn't need... You know, I should have just went deeper in the stores, but then being set it up in a way where I didn't have to go build this crazy structure for, it ended up being nothing. It was negative millions of dollars.
Yeah.
But you got to learn those lessons. And I don't think I really understood. I mean, I was young. I don't think I knew what I wanted.
Well, dude, you popped out the version of you that you are right now. So what a blessing, right? I think everybody's going to have to hit a low. Because it's only the lows that make you look inside and say, who am I? You know, how do I want to live my life? Like, what am I doing here?
Right.
Like, dude, you don't say that when the checks are just da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Right.
You know what I mean? Now, eventually, you might say that when, like, the family member that's worth hundreds of millions, right, and the money's coming in, and it's just, I wish I would have done it different, right?
Right.
Like, but in reality, he's at a low. Because he has everything that he could ever want, and he doesn't have the feeling that he wished he could have, which is going back in time and maybe doing things a little bit differently, right? That's his version of his low. Everybody's low is going to be... Lows are the biggest blessing that exists on planet Earth,
right?
Because that right there is the catalyst of change.
Right.
And if we don't ever experience a low and we stay that middle ground, we're going to stay that forever.
You know, it's like going to the gym and thinking you're going to get freaking jacked on air.
Yeah.
It's just easy, right? Yeah. Like, it's just, we're just existing. But once you start putting that adversity to resistance, right?
Yeah.
Then you start to build those muscles. Well, COVID was the
air,
less than air, right?
Yeah.
Like, we're in space.
Yeah.
Because
you were floating.
Oh, the money was coming in like the Nile River.
Yeah.
And we were just thinking that we were just so good. But I'm so thankful that we went through this hell that we were in, you know, every day. Because it made me, I know how to negotiate. I know how to operate the business better than
skills
I ever had
to increase.
Oh, yeah.
In
I had to become the man I had to become, the operator I had to become. And I honestly kind of shocked myself, which is because a lot of friends were like, hey, man, like, you don't just claim a bankruptcy and move on. And I'm like, no, like, I'm going to. And so I, believed and, I had to get that belief. I had to get, the team on board and learn how to do all those things. But I'm so glad I did that now. Then, when I maybe don't have enough time to recover. And, in 2023, I almost bought 9 dealerships in Colorado for almost $40 million. And I'm literally signing the paperwork. We got everybody sitting at the office, and there's a guy that's like a mentor. He's like the godfather in the RV industry. He's in charge of probably about $9 billion worth of manufacturing. And he calls me and he was like, don't do it. I see that you're putting in a request to change your guys' name. Don't do it. I'm not letting you do it. And I'm like, what are you talking about, man? Everything is good. What's going on? He's like, you're getting over your ski tips. Don't do it.
Yep.
I literally walked in. I'm sitting in the parking lot going to this meeting with all these attorneys and everybody about to nail down this deal. Walk up, get off the elevator, walk into our office. And I just tell everybody, I was like, hey, no deal. No deal. And everybody just sat there shocked. And I'm like, no deal. I mean, I had private equity money. I mean, we're getting all this money. Private equity, different things.
Yeah.
And dude, if I would have had another $40 million in debt on my shoulders, yeah, I don't know.
We've been buried.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, so I'm so thankful that everything happened for, I mean, it was a very huge blessing that he made those phone calls. And then, you know, not having this massive business and having to learn those mistakes. It was, you know, 9 locations enabled off. You know, we were just doing a little over $100 million in sales. So it's like you get it off. But now I'm like looking at the stores now, I'm like, we could have got those to $100 million. We could have got those to more profitable. Yeah. So now that's the mission.
Yeah. What a lesson.
Heck, dude, it's...
What a lesson.
I mean, cost us a lot of money.
I loved it.
But, you know, it's...
I loved it.
It is a total lesson. Yeah. You know, like it's...
A costly one.
A very costly one, but then was it? Because that cost, and what am I going to get in return?
Yeah.
Right? It's almost like that investment had to be made of millions of dollars to make me...
To create the outcome that is you and...
Exactly.
That prioritizes his life a little bit more.
Yeah.
Versus, you know, maybe those 9 stores doing really well and then turning into 19 stores and then turning into 50 stores and then you being, you know, 45 years old looking back and saying, damn.
Right.
That got out of hand and,
yeah,
you know, I missed everything.
Like now, I probably feel like I could grow.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, has to be like more parameters around, like my buy box has definitely gotten smarter.
well here's the deal, dude. Growing is good. Like I'm not gonna, you know, it's a podcast, but growing is good. Okay, it should be strategic growth where as you grow, it should require less of you, not more of you.
Right.
Okay, because if you're growing in the right way, you're bringing people into the organization that you get to delegate to, that ultimately frees up your time. So you're not hiring people that you have to manage. You're hiring people that take the stress off of your plate or off of your shoulders as a business owner. Those are two totally different things.
Where were you in 2021? I wish I would have listened to that.
Yeah.
Because it was the complete opposite.
Hopefully somebody hears it. We're in the middle of their 2021. Right. They're cash flowing and they're building the big house and wondering, you know, what's next? Yeah. And cool, dude. Like, focus on what's next and always focus on growing and expanding more so your being as a human than the actual business itself. And as you grow your being as a human, naturally your businesses are going to grow. But the idea is growth should reduce stress in your life, not increase it.
Yep.
Now, short-term periods of time when you're growing a business, it's okay for your stress to bump up a little bit, right? Like hiring somebody that is better than you at managing it were operations. Now you're paying somebody $250,000 a year to operate your business. Yeah, it's stressful because you're taking home a little bit less money. But overall, in 3 years from now, does that match the outcome that you want?
Right.
Or are you just growing in a way that's going to produce a result in 3 years that puts you in a private jet wondering what the hell you're doing, right? Like, so growth is awesome. Growth is great. But do it in a way that creates more freedom for you, doesn't shackle you down and put more weight on your shoulders, right?
Yeah, so no, I got a chance to go hang out with Alex Hormozi.
Yeah.
He's texting back and forth and he's like, hey man, like, you know, the misconception is people have all these different streams of income. And I'm like, yeah, dude, like I gotta have all these. And he's like, what you need to do is focus on your main thing. Yeah. And then that cup overflows from the same water out of that main cup into the other cups.
Yeah.
And he's like, so you go in and doing all these sporadic deals, because he's like, why the hell are you in Missouri? And I'm like, a good deal? And I used to think that was like, hey man, we got a really good deal, so do it. And he was like, you're an idiot. I'd rather pay more money for a very smarter investment. That was a stupid investment. A good deal does not always mean it's a smart investment.
Yeah.
Because it was cheap, yeah, but it ended up costing us millions.
Mm.
So like it didn't have any really upfront cost, but it cost us millions of dollars because we didn't know what we were doing in those markets. And so he was like, well, why, you know, then we started talking about that at deep. And I mean, man, I wish that I would have grown intentionally.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that I couldn't handle the growth.
Yeah.
It's I couldn't handle how I was growing.
Yeah.
There was no intention. It was sporadic. It was random dealerships in Oregon, random dealerships in Missouri, another random dealership in Southern Oregon on the, you know, in Klamath Falls, beautiful area, but what the hell? Like it's places that had no structure, places that had no management. Really difficult. And I started to think, like, man, this broker that sold all these damn things to me, I was probably his guy that's like, hey, you know, he'll buy him because he doesn't know.
Yeah.
100%. Like,
yeah.
Like,
young, dumb money over here. And he's just buy.
Right. Yeah. And so I wish that I would have, like, now looking back at it and like learning all the things I have learned, I'm like, man, I just, now it's a completely different, you know, game. But like I had to go through all those lessons, and it's been fun. Like, it sounds kind of morbid, but it's been fun.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, entrepreneurship, they have a different, definition for fun.
Right.
Right.
Right. So, for sure.
It maybe doesn't match the normal, definition of fun. But anyway, dude, it was awesome to have you on the podcast. How do people connect with you if they want to connect with you, follow you on social, do all that, maybe buy an RV from you, you know?
Yeah, so our dealerships are Legacy RV Center and Salt Lake, and then we got Castle Country RV. You can go on each of those websites. You know, Jason Haugen on Instagram. I do have a podcast called Culture Camp, which we talk about all things culture and business and life and everything. Interviewed some great people on there.
Yeah, I think you came and spoke to our inner circle about culture once.
Yeah.
So awesome on that call.
Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. So, yeah, good with you there.
Hit them up. Awesome episode. Make sure that you share the show with somebody that you love and care about, somebody maybe that's getting over their skis a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, that's very specific about that
topic.
But also somebody that's, that maybe is not really building a life intentionally. The things that we discussed, I think, are super, super important. Mm-hmm. And I think the reason why we all get into business initially is so that we can get rich and have all the things that, you know, we hope that would bring us maybe self-worth or value from other people.
Well, you fix it now, in 10 years, it'll be way better. Instead of building your own prison, you're building your own life.
Yeah.
And I wish I would have had smarter mentors in my life saying, hey, do a couple things now,
tweak,
it's long term, it'll be so much better, instead of just growing or just doing, and not even growth, just going like a bat out of hell, no structure, and then creating my own prison.
Guys, rate, review the show, hit up Jason. Other than that, guys, keep kicking ass. We'll see you next week.